إلا الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخواتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته The chapter today is what you offer عليه رحمة الله titled الكتاب القضاء والدعاوي والبينات وأنواع الشهادات The chapter has to do with القضاء judgment, what the Awi claims, that is the plural of the word da'wa, that he claims, wal bayyinat and evidence, the plural of al-bayyina, wa anwa al-shahadat, and the types of shahada, the testimony. Shahada, the plural of al-shahada. The Sheikh says, وَالْقَضَاءُ لَا رُبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْهُ وَالْقَضَاءُ لَا رُبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ فَرْضُ كِفَايَةٍ Judgment is something that the people cannot avoid. Because as human beings, we have dispute, we have disagreements on things. There will be transgression, there will be oppression, and things like that, because that is the nature of human being. This one trying to take the rights of another person, this one trying to cheat the other person. So one way or the other, there should be somebody or someone that will settle disputes among the people. And that is why there must be qadha, there must be judgment. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what we refer to in order to settle our disputes. We refer to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to settle our disputes. And there should be somebody that will be using this in order to settle the disputes. So the person is called Al-Qadi. Al-Qadi, that is the judge. And this is a person that is well grounded in the Sharia, who has the knowledge of Al-Quran and Sunnah. He has the knowledge of Al-Ijma'at. He has the knowledge of Al-Aqisa, how to do qiyas and the likes. So the person that's supposed to be a judge in Islam will be somebody that is learned. This is generally speaking. The person will be somebody that is learned in the Quran and Sunnah. He has the knowledge of Ijma'at. He has the knowledge of the Khilafat and things like that. So, the one who judges among the people with knowledge, such a person is going to be rewarded because it's a very big task. And the one who judges with ignorance, such a person is going to be thrown into hellfire. And the one who knows the truth and refuses to judge by it, it's also going to be thrown into hellfire. May Allah save us from this. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Qudatu Salasa. قاضٍ في الجنة وقاضيان في النار. The judges are three types. A judge will go to الجنة and two judges will go to hellfire. He said, فأما الذي في الجنة فرجل عرف الحق وقدر. As for the one who is going to الجنة is the one that knows the truth and judges right. He said, وأما القاضيان اللذان في النار فهما رجل عرف الحق وقضى بخلافه ورجل قضى للناس على جهله. So the one who judges with other than the truth, he knows the truth but he judges by other than the truth, goes to hellfire. And the one who judges for the people on or with ignorance goes to hellfire. So and that's why it's a very big task. The one who has knowledge, if he makes a mistake in his judgment, and he has tried to get the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward him. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمْ فَاشْتَعَدَ فَأَصْوَرْ فَلَا رَجْرًا. The one who judges and does ijtihad, that is somebody who is qualified to do ijtihad. He does ijtihad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلَهُ أَجْرًا. He has two rewards for eating the point. فَإِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمُ وَاشْتَعَدَ فَأَخْطَى فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. If a judge judges after he has done ijtihad and he misses the point, فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ, he's going to get a reward. The reward of ijtihad that he did. So he's not going to get a reward for the judgment because he did not get it. But for the fact that he has done ijtihad, he's going to get a reward for that. But this is for somebody who is qualified to do ijtihad. As for the one who does not have the qualification to do ijtihad, if he does ijtihad and he misses the point, he's going to be punished. And if he does ijtihad and who will get the point, he's not going to get reward because he is not operating in his feet. Unless in a situation where there is nobody to judge except such a person. How this is played. Only believing in a community that all the people present here are ignorant. And they have to settle disputations. They have to talk about the deen. So in a situation like this, al-muqallid qad yasiru mujtahida. A muqallid may be a mujtahid. Because you can't leave the people without religion, without ibadat, without the settlement of disputations. So, but the basis is that we all have to learn. We all have to learn and know the deen. So if you don't know, you ask those who know. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So if you do not know and you are the people of knowledge, then you have freed yourself. You have saved yourself. But if you don't know and you talk about the deen, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أُفْتِيَ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَى مَنْ أَفْتَاهُ. Whoever is given a judgment or a fatwa without knowledge, the sin will be borne by the one who has given him that fatwa. Because the person has trusted him, has relied on him, that this is a scholar, this is a student of knowledge. So he has given him or her a fatwa without knowledge. So the sin is going to be borne by that mufti. Unless if the muqallid knows that that mufti is what? Is somebody who is ignorant or is somebody who is sahibul haram? Is somebody who uses vain desire to judge. In that case, he must not ask him questions about the deen. So the Shaykh Ali Rahmatullah said, La Buddha, wa qada la Buddha li nasi minhu. So, fa huwa fardu kifaya, it is fardu kifaya. Not everybody will be a judge. So if everybody were to be judges, or everyone is a judge, then they will be you taking a matter to another person, so and there will be chaos. So some people will be what will be judges, some people will be those who will be the litigators. So we have the plaintiff and we have the defendant. So this is the way we have it. During the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the head of state. At the same time, he was the judge. He was also a mufti. So these are three different things. Al-Hakim may be the ruler. At the same time, Al-Hakim may also be what? The judge. And may also be a mufti because he's learned. The difference between Al-Fatwa or Al-Ifta and Al-Qadha is that Al-Qadha has the force of implementation. Enforcement is there. But the mufti cannot impose any sanction on you. So you can ask a mufti, what is the meaning of so and so? He tells you. But a mufti cannot tell you that, okay, you should divorce your wife, for instance. And he wants to implement it, enforce that on you. But the judge can do it because he has what? That power to enforce whatever judgments may have passed. But a mufti, no. So that is the major difference between a mufti and a qadi. That's the difference between a mufti and a qadi. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a hakim, the head of state. He was also a qadi. He was also a mufti. And that's why it's called as the differ. When Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhuma, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said to the Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, Inna Abu Sufyan rajulun miskikun aw rajulun shaheed. Abu Sufyan, O Messenger of Allah, Abu Sufyan is stingy. La yu'tini min al-mal ma yakfini wa yakfi baniyya. Does not give me of wealth what will be enough for me and my children. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khudhi min malihi ma yakfiki wa yakfi baniyya. Take from his wealth what will be sufficient for you and your children. Is that fatwa or iqadha? Is it a fatwa or iqadha? Which one? Now, what some scholars say, even if the qadha, where is the defendant? She is a plaintiff. She has brought the case of her husband. Where is the husband? Before the judgment. So that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was supposed to hear from the other part too. But he gave fatwa, that is, if your husband is treating you the way you have said, then the ruling is at what? But if the woman refuses to leave the house of the man after the idda has been completed, so to say, because you don't have what? The power to do that. You can give fatwa. But if it's the judge, there is no doubt that the people will have to have what? Al-Qadha. The people will have Al-Qadha. So, Allah is part of the fire. It's part of the fire. So not everybody will be a qadi. Just like the taking of certain knowledge will be part of the fire. It is not a more that everybody will be a scholar. How this is played. It's not binding on every Muslim to be a scholar. But it is binding on every Muslim to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to perform salah, you have to know how to perform salah. That knowledge is binding on you. So it's fardu ayn. Learning how to pray is fardu ayn. Now it is not yet for me to perform hajj. Is it binding on me to learn the rulings of hajj? It's not binding on me. Because I don't have the financial wherewithal, I don't have what? Maybe the ability to perform hajj. So it's not binding for me to watch, to do that. Is it binding on me to have the knowledge of buying and selling? It's binding on me. If it is something that I do day in, day out, I have to have the knowledge of what buying and selling, at least to a large extent. I may not specialize in it, but as a Muslim, I have to have what? The knowledge of buying and selling to a large extent, so that I will not fall in riba. Umar radiallahu anhu has contained in Sunan Tirmidhi, said, La yasirju aw la yajid fi suqina illa man tatafaqqaha fi din. Nobody should come to this market to buy and sell except the one who has the knowledge of it. So it is what? It is far to aim to learn how to buy and what? Sell. It is far to aim. Fasting. It will bind him to know how to work fast. You want to perform Hajj, it will be binding if you are ready to do that. So, but somebody wants to specialize in certain fields. Is it binding all of us to specialize in certain fields of the deen? No, it's fardu kifaya. It's fardu kifaya. How does it play? It's fardu kifaya. So it is not composed on all the Muslims of the scholars, but it's composed on the Muslims to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ibadah that you want to do, you have to learn about that ibadah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Meaning the Muslims are what? As scholars and muqallidun. We have scholars and we have what? Muqallidun. Even during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not all the companions were what? Were scholars. There were scholars among the Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. And there were those who are not scholars. But that doesn't mean they did not know what to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. So similar thing can be said for God. Everybody cannot be a Qadi. Everybody cannot be a Qadi. So it's what to keep on. So when we are living in a society where there are no products, nobody is a Qadi, then there will be problems. People will be cheating one another, they will be taking the item of one another, there will be violations of rights and things like that, because once I know that if I do this, I will go scot-free, I will not be held responsible. So there will be insecurity, there will be chaos on the land. That is the reason the author said, well, there must be what? Qadha. And the Qadha is fardu kifaya, not fardu ayn. So fardu ayn is what is an individual obligation, an individual responsibility. So this is not individual responsibility, it is fardu kifaya. يَجِبُ عَلَى الْإِمَامِ نقض من يحصل فيه الكفاية مما له معرفة بالقضاء. It is compulsory of the Imam to appoint somebody that this fard kifaya of the thing will be satisfied by it. He appoints somebody who has knowledge of القضاء بمعرفة الأحكام الشرعية, the one that will judge by the knowledge of the Sharia, وَتَبْدِيقِ عَلَى الْوَقَعِ الْجَارِيَ بِنَ النَّاسِ, and one who knows how to implement it, how to carry it out on الْوَقَعِ الْجَارِيَ بِنَ النَّاسِ, on happenings, the current happenings between or among the people. So the Imam has to do that. The second time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Hakim, he was the judge, the Qadi, who was also a Mufti. But later, they were separated. And during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he separated most of the time, or in some cases, he gave some people the right to watch to be a Qadi. And that's why you have somebody like Shureyh al-Qadi, Shureyh al-Qadi, one of the Tabi'un. So, who was appointed by Umar radiallahu anhu, was a judge. And that doesn't mean Umar would not give what? Judgment. He would also give judgment. And the case that was brought before him, and he gave a judgment this year, and the following year he gave a judgment contrary to what he gave the previous year. And he told him that You gave judgment so and so last year, and this year you are given so and so judgment on the same issue. He said, ذلك على ما قضينا وهذا على ما نقضي. That was the judgment you gave them, and this is the judgment you are given now. Meaning, is the ijtihad at what? Changed. So Umar radiallahu anhu was the hakim, was the judge, but the fact that he still appointed some people as judges, as a judge among the people. Likewise, Ali radiallahu anhu, and that was a practice that the rulers will appoint kudaj. You have what? The kudaj, and you have the muftun, scholars who give fatwa, scholars who pass judgment. The rulers, the artists. So, and it continues like that till this time, that you won't have, the ruler will not be the one to lead the salah. During the time of people like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, will be the one to lead the salah, just like the previous rulers who lead salah. But later it changed. It changed later. So, like now you go to Saudi Arabia, for instance, the king will only take care of the running of the affairs of the country. Why? What has to do with the leading of the salah? They give it to a scholar. They also appointed judges who will be passing judgment. But let's assume that the king said, okay, I want to leave the salah. Originally, it will be right to leave the salah, since he is what? The ruler. But if he decides to give the right to lead the salah to another person, there is no harm. There is no harm. So here the Sheikh says, يجب على الإمام نصب من يحصل فيه الكفاية ممن له معرفة بالقضاء بمعرفة الأحكام الشرعية وتطبيقها على الوقائع الجارية بين الناس. The Imam has to appoint somebody that has knowledge of the Sharia ruling and has knowledge of the implementation of this on the happenings among the people in such a way that it will be the justifier, it will be sufficient. وعليه أن يولي الأمثلة فالأمثلة في الصفات المعتبرة في القاضي. He should look for the best. He should look for the best in terms of the qualities that are considered in al-qadi. He said al-qadi must be somebody who has knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, somebody who knows the ijma'at, the rulings on matters. That is, previous scholars have passed on matters, so he has knowledge of ijma and the likes. The khilafat, he has a knowledge. Yes, maybe according to a specific madhab, maybe madhab al-Ambari, for instance, madhab al-Shafi'i, madhab al-Maliki, but it must be somebody who is well learned in that madhab too, and is very learning in the Quran. Not necessarily memorizing the Quran. Memorization of the Quran is another thing. It's very, very important. It's not the basis. But the person must know things that have to do with what? Qada from the verses of the Quran. Ayatul Ahkam, the verses that have to do with ruling, he must know them. Even if he does not memorize the Quran. If he memorizes the Quran, this is the best. But if he does not memorize the Quran, he must know the verses of Ahkam. Likewise, he must know considerable amount of ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in order to watch, in order to be qualified, in order to give what? Judgment. And if it is in the mat'ab, for instance, we train them on some books. Even Maliki school of thought, for instance, and somebody has knowledge of Al-Risala, for instance, maybe Mukhtar Khalil and things like that. Read some books. Then you'll be appointed a qadi. And the mother of Ambali, for instance, he has knowledge of some books, you'll be appointed a qadi. You also have knowledge of some words, some books. Not necessary that the person will have a huge knowledge before you can be appointed to qadi. But what are the people who really need, particularly things that have to do with ahkam, the person must have knowledge of this. Then the ruler, in appointing the qudat, will take the best in terms of what quality. ويتعين على من كان أهلا ولم يوجد غيره ولم يشغله أما هو أأمن منه. It will be compulsory on the one who is qualified. It will be compulsory on the one who is qualified to take the job, to take the task. It will be compulsory on him. ولم يوجد غيره. When there is no any other person to watch to fill the the vacuum, then we compose it. I mean, because we have to judge between the people. We have to judge between the people. So if you are the only person that is qualified to take it, you can't run away. If you run away, you have seen it. But if there are a lot of people also qualified to take it, you may run away. And as it was said that one of the Khulafa was looking for Imam Sufyan bin Sa'id al-Thawri Ali Rahmatullah to make him a judge, Iran. Because that is a very big task. You being appointed by a ruler as a judge is a big task. Because once you occupy that post, you occupy that position, the ruler is watchful over you. If you say something that he doesn't love, you will be in trouble. And you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to tell the truth. So some scholars, they fail in this aspect. Nas'alullah al-afiyata wa salam. Some scholars fail in this aspect. So by what? Falling for the ruler. And some scholars maintain their position and they give judgment, even if it does not favor the ruler. They may be embracing for this reason. They don't mind. Don't get me wrong, we are not talking about, we are not saying all those that are imprisoned by the rulers are wrong. That is the award. Some deserve to be imprisoned because there are people who are what? Cheering the masses against the authority, which is against the Sunnah. Even if the authority, they have some what, some shortcomings, some things that we are not happy about. But don't jeer the masses against them to revolt against them. Because if the fitna comes, it will involve everybody. So such scholars, so to say, they are imprisoned. So their imprisonment is justified. But somebody who tells the truth and the ruler imprisons him for that or tortures him for that. So the person is what? Is one of the great mujahideen. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that said the shuhada Hamza. The leader of the shuhada is Hamza radiallahu anhu. Then he said wa rajulun zahaba ila sultani وَكَلَّمَهُ فَقَفَلَهُ. So the one who goes to the authority and he speaks with him, he tells him the truth and accuses him. The person is what? The person? Thank you, Shahada. Now I'm going to the authority to tell them the truth. This is a praiseworthy act. Praiseworthy act. But you mounting the minbar and watch blasting them, raining curses on them, this is the act of the cowards. It's not the act of the people are what? who are shujaan, those who are brave. The brave ones, you go to the authority, you speak to them. You tell them the truth. If they take from you, alhamdulillah. If they not take from you, you are what? You are spoken the truth. And if they kill you, or imprison you, and you bear it, then you are what? You are a very great person. But for you to be fighting the masses against the ruler, and when you have the opportunity to meet the ruler one on one, and you are given brown envelope, that is that saying something else? You know, you have them, a lot of people like that. Ramallah too, they are attacking the government, and once they are invited, and they are given something by the government, you think they are saying what? Something different. Fooling the masses. So this is wrong. So if you have the opportunity to speak to the government one on one, you tell them the truth. Because it's you speaking the truth with them that will make them change. But when you try to pamper them or you try to do bootlicking and things like that, you are arming them and you are also arming yourself. You're arming them and you're also arming yourself. So the Shaykh Ali Rahmatullah said that wa alayhi an yuwalli wa yata'ayyan ala man kana a'lam, it is the composer of the one who is qualified, wa lam yujad ghayru, and there is no any other person except him, wa lam yashghalu amma huwa aham minhu, and by taking the position that does not preoccupy him more than any other thing that is more important. So there's nothing wrong if you will preoccupy with this, and there are more important things for you not to take it. But on condition that what? That there are other people to take it. I mentioned earlier that Al-Imam Sufyan bin Sa'id al-Thawri refused to take it early because he does not want to do good licking. The King of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man ata abawab al-sultan futi. Man ata abawab al-sultan ufutina. So whoever goes to the doors, gates of the authorities will be watched, will be fascinated, will be tried, will be tried. And it is only very few people that will go there and come back famous. So some people, they run away from this because of they know how to take it. They prefer to remain the way they are. And that was Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah. He said, if there's an occurrence, and scholar will differ on this matter. Scholar A is saying this, scholar B is saying this. A very serious issue. One of the ways the layman can know who is right, who is wrong, is to look at which one is closer to the government and which one is not closer to the government. If one is closer to the government and the other is not closer to the government, a lay person can watch. See towards the one that is not closer to the government, that is likely the statement is what? Is right. Because the one that is closer to the government is likely to say things that the government want to hear. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying every scholar that is what? That is working with the government will be that. No. There are people who are sincere and those who will tell the truth. So we have great scholars like Sheikh bin Baz ibn Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah. Yes, they are closer to the government, but they will tell the truth. But they won't incite the masses against the government. Somebody asked ibn Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah, is there you scholars, you are seeing what the government are doing, you are not telling them the truth? The Sheikh says, we tell them the truth, but not publicly as you want it. We meet them, we tell them the truth, same the thing from us, alhamdulillah. If they do not take, we have what? Done our own part of it. And this is in line with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
But the reason we will not say it publicly, so that you can hear, is that we fear two things. If we say it publicly, that is, we criticize them publicly, the government watch will attack us, or maybe arrest us. When they arrest us, what happens? You are the judge. You want to protect our arrest. And that will lead to what? Arrest. Will lead to problem, fitna in the land. So what are we benefiting from this? So anything we have to tell them, we tell them. And that's where you see these scholars, they will tell a lot of things that the government are doing. The government are doing. But they will separate the government from the king. Riba is haram. They say it is their fatawa. I was filled with condemnation of riba, condemnation of the sale of intoxicants, the consumption of intoxicants, the taking of bribe and things. You will not see them compromising these things. That's why the father Sheikh bin Baz is the mufti of the old Mamlaka. You see him condemning a lot of things. To the extent that Yom Kippur, the National Day, he was asked, what is the reason of National Day? He condemned it. Despite the fact that what they will celebrate it, he condemned it. But he will say what our government is doing, the difference between there is no evidence for National Day and what our government is doing. And this is the difference between these great scholars and those who are being there in order to watch, to jeer the youth. Those who are being there to jeer the youth, they prefer to attack the rulers. So when they attack the rulers, you see somebody who is ignorant, who does not have the knowledge of the deal, they have to these and these scholars. Because they attack the rulers. If you want to be popular now, just start the reading of the government. A lot of masses will love you. And when the problem comes now, they run away. They leave you with your problem. So that's why we should watch. We should think very well. So the great scholars of Allah, these scholars in Baal, Al-Albani, the Muslimin, they look at their way of life, they look at their knowledge, their faith. You look at, you see, these are great scholars that have the mercy of the people at heart. So you see them toying with the issue of the deen. And scholars like them, I just mentioned the name of these three, there are a lot of scholars like that. So we should respect these scholars and not the way some people try to present them to us. I feel they are scholars who are just cementing the throne of the wicked rulers. وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْبَيِّنَةُ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِي وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرَ. The Prophet Allah sallam said, البينة, that is evidence, على المدعي, is upon المدعي. المدعي, that is the plaintiff, the one who is laying claim to something. Tell this thing in your hand, I'm the owner. How can you be the owner of what I'm having? This phone now suddenly comes and says, what? I'm the owner of this phone. Should I give it to him? The answer is what? No. So if he goes to the party, he'll say, this phone is so and so is my phone. The party will say, what? Evidence. I don't tell you now. Where's the evidence that you are the owner? Al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i. The one who is claiming something in the hand of another person, or something that is in the possession of another person, should bring what? Bayyina. The one who is claiming that so-and-so person has done so-and-so to him, should bring what? Evidence. وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرَ. Then, the one who says it's not yours, the Sharia will say, okay, say wallahi, that is not his. Now this phone is in my hand. Somebody claims before the judge that the phone is his.
He cannot bring evidence that the phone is his. Who owns the phone? I own the phone. But the judge did not say he owns the phone like that. He said what? You that the phone is in your hand. Say, Allah, that's where the phone is. And he say, Allah, I am the owner. So what else do you want him to do? He is the one in possession of that thing. So for you to say if it is not his, you have to come up with evidence. So when Yalinu Alaman Ankara, this is in report of Tirmidhi, at least some scholars said it's Da'if. But one that is in Sahih Bukhari, some other books is Wal Yaminu Alal Mudda'a Alihi. Al Mudda'a Alihi. So this one is what? That is the sentence. You know the mitigators? Either what? Defendant or plaintiff. So Al-Mudda'i is a plaintiff, Al-Mudda'i is a defendant. Both of them are litigators. Al-Mudda'i, that is those who have taken a case to the authority. So, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? لَوْ يُطَنَّاسُ بِدَعْوَاهُمْ لَدَّأَ نَاسٌ بِمَا أَقَوْمٍ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. Why it would be that when some people lay claim to something, they are given immediately. Some people would have laid claim to the blood of some people. Just come to you and say, see, George, this person killed my brother. Okay, kill your brother. Okay, go and kill him. لَدَّعَ نَاسٌ بِمَا أَقَوْمٍ وَأَمْوَى لَهُمْ. Someone says, George, so-and-so person has taken my house. He has taken your house, okay, they are giving the house back. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, that is not the case. The case is what? وَلَكِنَّ الْبَيِّنَةَ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِي وَالْيَمِينُ وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى أَلَا مَنْ أَنْكَرَ وَلَى الْمُدَّعَى عَلَيْهِ. So when you lay claim to something, you have to come up with evidence that you are the owner of that thing. How do you think of the hadith is clear?
No.
The Prophet Allah also said, وَقَالَ إِنَّمَا أَقْضِي بِنَحْوِ مَا أَسْمَعْ. إِنَّمَا أَقْضِي بِنَحْوِ مَا أَسْمَعْ. I only pass judgment according to what I hear. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a dispute, a kind of noise in front of his door, and he came out. What's the problem? He wanted to pass judgment on the matter between the two parties. So, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا أَقْضِي عَلَى نَحْوِي مَا أَسْمَعْ. I only judge based on what I hear. Based on what I hear. So, فَمَنْ قَضَيْتُ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْئًا. Whoever I pass judgment to from his brother, that is, I give him something from his brother. فَإِنَّمَا قَطَعْتُ لَهُ قِطْعَةً مِنْ نَارٍ. I've given him what? لَا يَسْتَحِقُّهَا أَوْ لَا يَسْتَحِقُّهُ. That he does not deserve. فَإِنَّمَا قَطَعْتُ لَهُ قِطْعَةً مِنْ نَارٍ. I've given him what? Just a brand of fire, so to speak. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this in order to caution the people. Because he said that وَلَعَلَّ بَعْدَكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَلْحَمَى بِأُجَّتِ إِمِنْ بَعْدِ. In your presentation and argument, some of you may be more argumentative than the other. So one of you or some of you may be better in presentation. Today we want to win a case, you look for a very good lawyer that can tell you that what this black is white, and this white is what is black. You say he's a very good lawyer. When you say someone is a very good lawyer, today it means it's somebody that can turn black to white and turn white to black. So let of Allah let them know you may be good at your presentation. So why is not coming down to tell me that this person is right, the person that is right on this matter, this one is wrong. I'm only judging based on what I hear from you people through the presentation. And that way it says that Al-Qa'i la yahkum bi'ilmi wa innama yahkum bima sami'a. A judge was not ruled by his knowledge. Rather, he rules by what? He judges by what he hears. What does that mean? Say for instance, I know that this item belongs to this person and you have laid claim to it, but I know you are not the owner. But this person does not have what? The evidence. But I know that the thing you have presented, you are cheating this man. I know that. Can I say, okay, I'm going to judge based on my knowledge? No, I can't judge based on my knowledge. I judge based on what I have from both of you. So the only thing I can do in the Sharia is for me, if I know that no, this person cheated, only that he cannot provide the evidence, but I know the truth is within. So what I can do is to watch, to refer the case to another person. Then I act as what? As a witness. But I want to be your witness. So I can do that. And I think I want to judge by my knowledge. Unless if the matter is a very known matter, that if the judge judges with his knowledge, everybody knows that this is what the truth. Take for instance, somebody comes and sues the president of Nigeria, for instance. He says, he takes it to, let's say, the court, maybe the Sharia court, for instance, that yesterday you borrowed 5,000 naira from me. I don't even want to pay you. He borrowed 5,000 naira from me, he does not want to pay him. How can the president of Nigeria borrow 5,000 naira from you? This one is what to clear life. Even if you bring your witness, somebody comes, follows you and say, I'm the witness. Say, no. Both of you are sick. So this is what is a clear matter. If the judge judges what's going against even what the witness has said, so this is something that everybody knows. How is this clear? But for the judge to judge with his knowledge, no, that will make him feel as if he cheated the plaintiff for instance, so this will not be okay. Or maybe cheated the defendant, this will not be okay. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Aqdi ala nahwi mimma asma." It is what I hear that I base my judgment on. Say the Messenger of Allah could say this, then who are other judges? And that's why they can make mistakes. And that's why you should also be sincere in your argument. Be sincere in your claim. What you know does not belong to you. Don't lay claim to it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that so man halafa ala yaminin sabrin wa huwa fi afajirun yaqta'u biha ma la yurin muslimin laki Allahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever takes an oath, takes a false oath, whoever takes a false oath in order to devour the word of a Muslim, he says what? He will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with him. So somebody now said, Ya Rasulullah, wa law kana shay'an yaseera, Who would do that to you just in your teaching? The Son of Allah says, وَلَوْ قَرِيبًا مِنْ أَرَكْ. Who would think it is the same thing? Same thing. You take an oath that this thing belongs to you, and it's not yours. The Messenger of Allah says, first a person who meets Allah, Allah is angry with him. So that's why we should avoid laying claim to things that do not belong to us. This is something that is commonplace. Everywhere we want to take other people's rights. Because maybe we are mightier, we are this, we are that. So it is wrong. We should remember this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah we stop here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.